Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That's funny, watching ESPN. Now, Danny Ainge is considering stepping down.
Well, I imagine he won't, because he always considers making a move and then doesn't do it.
Yeah.
I just assume he won't do it. Like, Danny Ainge is all in on Paul Joe. Didn't make the trade. Never pulls the trigger, so I imagine he'll be back next year.
But it's funny. There's all kinds of video of him that they're showing on ESPN, and it's all of him sitting in the stands watching games, reacting to plays and whatnot.
What else are they going to put up?
But what sport has the general manager in the stands?
So visible. I mean, Theo Epstein got a lot of run as a young guy who built back those.
But he's in the general manager's box.
True. I mean, that it's the only sport who does that.
Yes.
Like Pat Riley, you'll see him out and
Daryl Morey all the time was in the stands.
Yeah.
He's sitting in the stands watching the game. What baseball? The general manager is up in the box.
Yep.
In football, the general manager's up in the box.
Well, it's also the only sport where up until recently coaches wore suits.
Daryl stopped sitting, by the way,
in the stands. It's different for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Daryl stopped sitting in the stands because he realized the camera's always on him, and he gets really pissed off during games. This is what he said, and he had to go somewhere where they couldn't see him. Ballard has a lifelong vendetta against one writer who Ballard is like us watching games. Mm-hmm. He gets really fired up.
And he was on a road game.
And I guess he got really super pissed, and some writer kind of ratted him out. He even said when he was a scout, like he used to be a scout when he was with the Chiefs, he said he got so mad, like he threw a pin or something. They were something.
Have you ever watched when Zoe was with the Packers, watch Packer games with him?
I was at Pennison's Pub with him when Freddie Mitchell caught the 4th-and-27 pass with
God.
Philadelphia that cost him thousands in playoff shares.
It cost him thousands of
dollars. He was pissed.
Oh, my God, yes. No, I've seen him, and that guy's a piece of... It's like, holy crap.
He had a... Yeah. Boy, he called a guy a name one time. Yes. I'm like, I don't know that you're allowed to use... Are you allowed to use the C word on that receiver?
Wow. So it is it yeah, no. It's a livelihood, dude. Yeah, you lose playoff money. If playoff money at the end when your team goes deep is really, really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice for everybody in the organization. So yeah. That's not what we're looking for. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome to hang with us on ESPN 97.5. We haven't talked about our team in a while.
Mm-mm.
How about our Astros? How about Luis Garcia? How about the way Kyle Tucker is hitting? How about Yuli and Yordan back? How about the two Ys? The Y brothers back. Yeah, that's what we needed.
Yuli and Yordan, is that what we're calling them, the Y brothers?
Yeah, why?
I thought it was a Cuban thing we were doing.
Why not? That's what we're. That's what.
Don't
we're
we do
them.
Something with Cubans? With
Why
them?
Not? Man, this team looks. It is such a Jekyll and Hyde team. Well, of course. Listen, if it wasn't for the bullpen, they'd probably be undefeated on this homestand.
Oh yeah, the bullpen's been that bad.
The bullpen has been that bad that they could be undefeated on this homestand. This was a Red Sox team that was playing good baseball coming in here, and the Astros have just shut them down, especially offensively. And with Luis Garcia just looking just awesome last. I don't know how, again, started the show with this, but I know McCullers has got to get into the rotation, but is it Garcia that's got to leave it? Is it?
Boy, how are you leaving? How you taking Garcia out right now? He's a horse right now. Well, relative to, you know, one, quality start means horse.
He's won four straight starts.
But he's going 100.
His ERA is down to 2.72.
Exactly. He's going 100. He's going 100 pitches for you. And he's been good. Last four games, he's given up no more than two earned runs.
And Dusty is starting. The thing about it is, that starts before, Dusty didn't trust him.
Yeah.
Dusty pulled him after
five. Trust him now?
And so I got to get to that bullpen. Okay, Dusty.
Dusty trusts him now, I bet.
Dusty trusts him now. He put him back out there with 93 pitches. He put him back out there in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
Now, normally he would pull him, and he gave him 106 pitches, the most he's given him. And last time he gave him 100 pitches. Dusty's like, well, even Dusty has got to say, I don't know if I can trust that bullpen right now.
Even not sure Dusty.
I'm not sure I can trust that bullpen.
You said even Dusty.
Even Dusty, who is got the quickest hook in the business.
By the way, isn't it weird to see players try to bunt? They don't do it successfully. Isn't it weird to see Straw square up? I'm like, this just has to be with Dusty. Only because Dusty
did you see
made it first and second.
Did you see Stubbs bunt the other day?
Yeah.
He up by his eyes, and he put it down perfectly.
He had a great bunt.
You know
bunt.
Why? Because he's Garrett Stubbs. Because he's like, I'm going to have to bunt
some. I'm going to have to bunt at some point. Straw took two strikes down by his knees, which, by the way, could have easily been put down on the ground. That's the best kind. And he just let him go, and then he would have grounded into a double play. By the way, we don't talk about that. Marwin's bad throw. When he on a double play, which would have been Straw, you dumbass. How do you not get the bunt down and then you ground into a double play? That opened that was the third run, by the way, that came in. Yep. And then it opened up the Pandora's box. It was Marwin's error that opened that up.
Yeah. Thank you, Marwin. Maybe Marwin did that for us.
And then Garcia gave up a run because he didn't get off the. He was sitting there, as Jeff Blum said, buying a ticket to the game. There's a ground ball to Yuli, and he's like, oh, crap, I've got to go cover. And by then, it was too late. Yuli threw it over his head.
And by the way, his only run that he gave up in the game before was a ball that he misfielded.
Yeah.
He's not the. Well, that's maybe one thing about him, is that that's not the best thing about him, is that his fielding. He's not going to win a goal. He's not Greinke. That's for sure.
We found that out
about him. But listen. How about Odorizzi to the pen when McCullers
comes back? I'm fine with it. I don't care who look, in order, Odorizzi's at the bottom of the food chain right now. He's never proved anything as an Astro.
No.
You can't just use one game.
In the big leagues, though.
That's true. But that's why you know he's probably mentally tough enough to do that and to handle that role, because you're going to ask him to do the same thing Javier's doing. Now you're going to have two guys that can go 3 to 4 innings for you.
Listen, this rotation is one of the as injury prone as it's been, as you know, it's not huge names when you're talking about Fromber and you're talking about Garcia and Urquidy. Greinke is obviously a huge name. McCullers has just got paid. This rotation is one of the better ones in baseball. It's a top 5 or 6 rotation in baseball.
Yeah,
that's how good this rotation is right now. And Odorizzi may not fit that bill. Maybe, you know what? I don't know. I got to take a look at Odorizzi. By the way,
I mean, Odorizzi, you can't find enough recently that Odorizzi's some kind of guy that you can't touch. Odorizzi was a late add to this roster, relatively speaking. There's no love for Odorizzi. Odorizzi, we get your ass to the pen.
Whoa, that's ugly.
Well, I mean, it's not like you have to be careful, like, guys, we got to dance. We got to walk on eggshells. We don't want to upset Jake Odorizzi.
He's been a starter now ever since his second
year. Yeah, he's
year
a starter.
He's a starter.
He's a starter. I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is, okay, cool. Lance McCullers had been a starter, and at one point he went to the pen, and he went to the pen in the bullpen. I mean, in the, playoffs, and was good. Yeah. Well, Jake Odorizzi, you may need to go to the pen too.
Every one of his appearances has been a start since 2014.
That's okay. We're asking him to potentially, we as, you know, me and the Astros are asking him to.
It is later in his career. To probably pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? So go out there and pitch 3 innings. What's wrong with that? Would it help the team? Potentially?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't know whether or not he did it early in 2013. He was, he didn't. Three of his appearances were non-starts. That's it.
I think Odorizzi,
out of 199 games, only three have
been. This is what I would tell you. For Jake Odorizzi, you go in with the mindset that, okay, listen, Jake, you're going to be on the back end. We're going to plan on you being on the back end of Urquidy, or the back end of Fromber, or the back end of Greinke. And you go in, you say, so we want you to warm up that way. Because what you're doing then, in essence, if you have a pitcher that's normally going to go 5 to 6 innings, Jake Odorizzi could potentially prepare like he does as a starter with his throwing, and, you know, an inning two, already getting some throwing in, whatever his, however long it takes him to get loose on a game day as a starter, run that same time frame through in the bullpen. I understand it may be a little bit different, but it gives you a chance. If you know, okay, Jake, we're going to be going to you on the back end of this Fromber start. So if Fromber goes 4 1/3, we're coming with you. If he goes 6, we're coming with you, and you may close out the game as a 3-inning guy. And I don't care that it's not done in Major League Baseball. This is something new that you could do. That could actually be a really good idea. We saw it work with Javier. It's been good with Javier in small sample size.
You know, you pair Odorizzi with Greinke. You pair Javier with Garcia or McCullers, you know, because you never know when Lance is going to have a, you know, sometimes Lance will go 2 1/3. Or you pair Javier with McCullers, and then you know what? And then Garcia, you get Blake Taylor, or you can do it that way. You absolutely could do it that way. Especially if you've got, listen, McCullers comes back. Now we got some arms. Now we're talking about, I've got high hopes for Blake Taylor. I know he wasn't good earlier this year, but Blake Taylor, if he gets back to, so Scrub was better last year too. Maybe
I thought we might see him yesterday, to be honest with you, instead of Raley.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought we might see Taylor, but Raley did his job. One inning. I don't want to, as you mentioned, I want to bring a bouquet of flowers to guys for doing their jobs, but that's what it feels like. Like, hey, Raley and Stanek went 2 innings, struck out 3 and didn't give up a run. Guys,
pretty good. Can we
give it up? Can we buy these guys a steak dinner? You guys were amazing today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you did your jobs once. Okay, cool.
All right, 9:15 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts? You're more than welcome to get in here and talk about it. 713-780-3776 is the number. NBA playoffs. We'll get to that on the other side.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776.
So I do want to mention the Nuggets won. They're up 3-2 against Portland Trail Blazers. They did it in double overtime. Damian Lillard had a game that's one of the better scoring games that you'll find from an efficiency standpoint. Like, he had one turnover in 52 minutes. He had one turnover in 52 minutes to go a 10 assists. But the impressive thing was his 55 points in 52 minutes. He did it on 17 of 24 shooting, 12 of 17 from the three-point line, and 9 of 10 from the free throw line. So that is just an unbelievable job to score 55, grab 10 assists, one turnover. He hit mega shots, too, in that game. Just an unbelievable job. Now, you know, on the flip side of that, of the starting lineup, and they did shoot 43% from three, but, you know, a big part of Carmelo Anthony was 2 of 9. CJ McCollum was 2 of 8. But Dame Lillard, you know, he put the team on his back and gave him a shot. But they did what the Blazers always do, which is come up short despite Dame having this unbelievable performance. And it's all anyone can talk about. And where does this rank amongst, well, it's still a loss. So we used to do that with Dream back in the day when Dream would have triple doubles against the Nuggets and a losing, you know, I think he had triple doubles against the Nuggets, and it was Frank, what was his name? The little point guard turned it over. His brother was a cornerback for the Cleveland Browns. Remember
Minifield,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Frank Minifield just turned it over.
Dirk
was his brother, yeah. And Frank turned it over, and Dream had this incredible triple-double. Oh, well. That's a loss. Triple-double and a loss. Oh, well. Yeah. And that's what Portland does too much with Dame. But I give Dame credit, man. He's trying to – he loves Portland, and he wants to build and win a championship for Portland.
Neat.
He's a throwback.
That is great.
I mean, he's a throwback.
Unless LeBron gets him to come over.
I was talking to my sons about – we were walking we went to Memorial Park, and we're on a walk. We were talking basketball, and I said, you know, the guys who we were talking about, Mark Eaton just died. And so we started talking about Mark Eaton. And I said, you know, Mark Eaton used to give Olajuwon a lot of trouble because he wasn't that athletic. Like the more athletic guys like David Robinson who could go for the fakes. I said, Mark Eaton was too slow. The fakes didn't work on him because you didn't give it enough time. Your fakes were too fast. He just kind of stayed in the same place and then would block Dream's shot. Like Mark Eaton was a nightmare for Dream to play against. And for those who missed it, Mark Eaton, died over the weekend, bike accident. And so we were talking about why Rudy Gobert, like, I asked Alec, I said Rudy Gobert would have been a great big man back in the day against all those big men in the 80s and 90s. And he said, I disagree. I think it's the other way. I think he's more valuable now because there's not as many. And I had to explain to him. I said, you know what happens in the playoffs when Rudy Gobert gets up against the Golden State Warriors or teams with good high screen and roll? They put him in a precarious position because of all the switch-offs and stuff.
That said, the Sixers suck without Embiid. The Lakers are bad without Anthony Davis. I mean, there's
no question.
Yeah.
Anthony's different. Both those guys shoot from distance, too. Well, they can step out defensively, too.
Well,
Rudy Gobert.
I mean, Embiid, I don't want him stepping out too far.
But Rudy's a defensive specialist.
Yeah.
So if you pull him away from the basket, he loses value.
Right.
And that's one of the problems.
But there still is value in staying inside and protecting
the rim. But can you imagine Rudy back in the day? Rudy would have been like Mutombo.
Yeah.
Rudy would have been just like Mutombo, only he's a more fluidly athletic big.
Ben Wallace, a Hall of Famer.
Ben Wallace would have never won a Defensive Player of the Year.
Never. Let me ask you a question. Why haven't we made more
of this? You're so salty about Ben Wallace finally getting his due.
He sucked.
You probably hate punters getting into Hall of Fame.
He averaged 4 points a game. You're not a Hall of Famer. Dylan Brooks.
He's so disrespectful.
He is very.
Dylan Brooks. Can you tell me something about Dylan Brooks?
Yeah, he went to Oregon.
And?
He talks a lot of trash. He's a rashly,
oh, is he a trash talker?
He's irrationally confident in his game. Yeah. Like, he can shoot you into a game because of his confidence. And there are times, hey, Dylan, could you stop shooting? Ja Morant standing over there.
Do you know who drafted Dylan Brooks?
Are you going to tell me the Rockets did or something?
Yeah, and traded him to Memphis.
Well, did they really draft him?
They didn't really draft him.
They picked him from Memphis.
Well, if he was sitting there, why couldn't they pick him for himself?
Well, Darryl could have. I'm sure they figure. What was the trade?
45th overall.
Darryl doesn't draft players. He stashes them in places he never
asked to play. What do you mean, what was the trade? It was him for.
That's what I mean. Did they really draft him, or were they draft, hey, Memphis, if we take him, what will you give us?
No, he's obviously.
Well, obviously, but he was sitting there, so the Rockets could have drafted him instead of making him a trade.
Well, sure, they could have, but.
And seen how good he is.
But I understand what you're saying, but it doesn't mean anything because the Rockets, it was clearly, took him because they wanted to get something from Memphis instead.
Instead of Dylan Brooks,
yes.
Which was a mistake.
Well, maybe.
Because Dylan Brooks was sitting there.
Well, we know the Rockets. The Kawhi thing always sticks up at the top of the list. But this happens in the NBA all the time.
No, guys don't take dives. Your hero, Daryl Morey.
He's not my hero.
Yeah.
Why is he my hero?
Because you love him.
No.
If you want to
talk about my hero passed on Devin Booker for Justice Winslow.
Ooh, yikes.
A lot of people screwed that one up.
So if you want to talk about
my hero, sure, we can get into Pat Riley's. Not many mistakes, but he makes some.
Oh, I give this thedreamshake.com. So this is what they wrote in 2017. After being a popular prospective draft choice for many Rockets fans, Dylan Brooks became a Rocket, only to be traded immediately to Memphis. Brooks was a three-point threat for Final Four-bound Oregon last season, was a key contributor to one of the most successful Oregon cores. Brooks would have been a very good fit for the Rockets' three-point first offense, but the Rockets felt that trading him right now might have more value than keeping him on the roster. I'm a little bummed about the fact the Rockets, that Brooks was available for the pick. Houston selects him, yet he won't be a Rocket. Hopefully Daryl Morey won't regret trading him inside the division, and he doesn't turn himself into one of those divisional Rocket killers. The Rockets will receive a future second-round pick for Memphis. See, this
you had a good college player sitting there that can shoot threes. Daryl Morey never put any... For a guy that loved three-pointers, he gets Corey Booker.
Brewer.
He gets...
Corey Booker, too. He also added... The senator?
No, he didn't.
At some point, I thought he tried to.
This was before the
Corey Booker. I mean, some of the guys that he brought here, instead of getting good three-point shooters,
Dylan Brooks shoots three. Like Dylan is exactly.
He was a great player on a. They went to the Final Four.
Might I interest you in a three-point shooter, sir?
Yeah.
With plenty of history to show that. He could become, even if he's going to be an average NBA player who can shoot a decent three-pointer from range, that was what the Rockets were missing. That's why they kept getting older and older and older.
This was the trade happened before the 65-win team. This was the year that they acquired Chris Paul as well. Maybe they just wanted to free up salary space or whatever.
Yeah, they skipped the draft in pursuit of Blake Griffin. Chris Paul, Paul George, and cap flexibility. Yeah. The Rockets and they did that year.
I mean, Daryl Morey would say, excuse me, that team won 65 games. Get off my ass.
No, but how about having players going forward?
He don't care. He's not here. He's never cared about that. You know what? After he got to the end point, I'm going to Philly. You don't care. You don't care about that future stuff you're talking about. Oh. I'll just go to a different club. Don't worry about that.
That's crap. That is crap.
Ain't your business.
Man, hey, stop worrying about Dylan Brooks.
The
I got you 65 wins.
He's none of your business anymore.
Really
he's none of your
NBA
business
player.
Anymore.
And Daryl Morey would say, look, whatever. Let him do whatever that little... He's getting eliminated while I'm moving on to the second round. Okay?
He was an immediate starter in the NBA. He's a 35% career shooter from three. 42% overall, which isn't great. He's athletic. He can shoot threes. I mean, there's nothing about... Why would you? I don't see.
Ocho Texto says he's the modern day Vernon Maxwell. Is that much?
I don't know if he's a defensive stopper.
Well, Vernon was also like he would take some wild ass shots.
Well, that's what.
But Vernon,
does.
I think he means from in terms of his talking. You know, he did a phenomenal job on Steph Curry. Phenomenal job of literally just hounding him around the court. He did a great job of crowding him so that the screens weren't as successful against him. He was a big reason why he gave Memphis the ability to get past Golden State in that play-in game. I mean, Dylan Brooks can play. Golly, they just let him.
Well, Dylan Brooks,
just another one.
Well, the combination of Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni would have been death to Dylan Brooks' game. He wouldn't have played because that was a young player playing for that team that had championship aspirations. Mike D'Antoni ain't playing Dylan. He wouldn't have played Dylan Brooks.
He might have.
Why? Over who?
He could play.
Over that lineup?
No.
The Ariza.
Well,
it
would have been nice to have him. Eric Gordon was hurt half the year.
Was he hurt in the 65-win season?
He was always hurt. What are you talking about?
Didn't we talk about how he was healthy early in his Rocket tenure, and then obviously it fell apart because it always does with him. I have to look back. I don't remember how many games he played. But that's a young a rookie on a team with championship aspirations. Mike D'Antoni ain't giving that kid minutes. Certainly not going to give him what Memphis gave him, where they started him 74 times in 82 games.
No. He had 74 starts that season. He probably would not have. I don't get it. I don't get it. For a second rounder next year, you had a good player there, a really good player that led a team to a Final Four, and he can shoot. Why would you? I don't get it. I just don't get it. It's 9:30, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here with us right now, speaking of the Rockets, I mean, you don't think that they would like to have this dude there right now?
No, he would help them win games this year. That's not what they're looking for.
No, that is kind of not what they're looking for. They really don't. But what they want is you to run. And here's the deal. They got a virtual run going on. Normally, this 5K run, 10K run, kids 1K walk, it's all you can walk or run. It's usually everybody all together, ready, set, go. And you start and you do your 5K or your 10K and they raise a bunch of money to support the Children's Memorial Hermann. Well, now you do it at your own pace. You do it when you want to do it. You go to rockets.com and sign up. It's a virtual run. and it benefits the Children's Memorial Hermit, which is a great cause. So if you're looking for a great way to raise money to get in shape, run, walk, get your kids involved, the kids 1K, you can do it at your preferred time, place, and pace by June 6th, and you got a chance to win prizes. All participants will receive a Rockets Run t-shirt, a race bib, a race medal, and a mesh bag. Go to Rockets.com and see how you can help raise money. You got to do this before the 6th. So let's go. All you got to do is go to Rockets.com. That's Rockets.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. The number, if you'd like to get in here, 713-780-3776. So the Nets won, and I'm not sure, there are probably a lot of people, Dell, that don't know how our world is doing right now because of the Nets win. It changed. It really, they won the series 4-1. All right. And, you know, Boston was they were a seventh seed.
But yes, but they played the last two games without Kemba Walker and Robert Williams. And then even Jaylen Brown didn't even play in the series.
Yeah, but that doesn't, I mean, so if you win a series against, no, what's, who one of the greatest organizations in NBA history?
Well, severely decimated that team was.
Well, is it one of the greatest organizations in NBA history? Yeah, but who has more titles?
You don't play the organization, you play the team on the court.
Well, so you don't play the Boston Celtics is what you're saying?
No, you play the
isn't
current
that the
team.
Organization?
You don't play Larry Bird and Kevin McHale.
But you're playing the organization, the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, you get to play Evan Fournier.
It's one of the great wins in NBA history. And
who says?
Kyrie.
Well,
Kyrie's bringing it together.
It's Kyrie. Hey,
well,
don't give it away.
Okay. So here's the deal: is what does it do when you win a series against a great organization like the Boston Celtics?
What does it do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why don't you ask somebody like Kyrie Irving?
What does it do?
Well, he'll tell us, right?
He's going to tell us right here.
After game three, a number of you guys talked about how that loss, you guys can use that as a positive. How are you guys able to do that with back-to-back wins going away?
Just maturity, doing the right things, and make sure we bring that energy. You know, being up in Boston, hostile crowd, you know, we understand what that takes. In order to be a special team in this league, we got one on the road. So we went up there, handled business, and wanted to do it in front of our hometown crowd. Grateful that we got the win.
Looking forward to that second round. What's it going to take moving forward? You know you have a tough challenge at hand.
Just staying resilient, persevering. Same thing we've been doing all season. And make sure that we got everybody with us.
Last thing for you, again, in front of your family, in front of this crowd, what does this mean? Again, the Brooklyn faithful showing out.
Oh man, come on now. We uniting the whole world with this championship run. So I hope everybody with us. We uniting the whole world with this run. Stick with us, baby.
And uniting the whole world is what we're doing. The Brooklyn Nets are uniting the whole world. Granted, I don't think they were able to sell out their stadium.
They couldn't even unite Brooklyn.
Couldn't even get a full, yeah, but they're uniting the world with this championship run.
I know you're pointing to Kyrie and some of his silliness, but what strikes me is I got to sit through this guy asking Kyrie questions about this series against this decimate. Come on, this terrible Boston
what
team.
What does it mean that you were able to bounce back after that loss?
You mean the one where I'm playing like that Naismith dude and Evan Fournier? You mean bouncing back from that loss? Those guys?
Mm-hmm.
You mean when they had like an accountant playing at center for half of the game? Yeah, I mean it was really tough. Most people can't even name what's left of that Boston roster. If I'm listening to the guy interviewing, if I'm him, I'm like, yeah, I gotta fake like this was a big deal, don't I? That's what I gotta do. I gotta fake like this triumvirate of three Hall of Famers took out Naismith and Fournier and whoever else is on this, and Romeo Langford. I got to pretend like this was a big deal.
This isn't a big deal.
No.
They were massive favorites.
It's uniting the world. Okay.
There's big basketball news, by the way.
Yeah.
Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens is going to move into the front office on a full-time basis, and the Celtics are expected to start a search for a new head coach. Danny Ainge is going to step down.
New head coach?
Yeah, Brad Stevens is moving up to the...
Sources tell ESPN, Celtics staff and coaches have been informed of the changes.
Brad Stevens moving upstairs to basketball operations.
Yep.
So Brad Stevens, who has no experience running an organization, will now be part of that. And
yeah, until you do it, you don't have any experience doing it.
Well, he has, like, at least Rafael
had some experience. Well, he does know his roster pretty well, I think.
Yeah, yeah, but he knows players.
Yeah, so, but he, I mean, is he going to make trades? Is he? What's he going to do? Draft or what's he going to do?
Yeah, all of that sounds like. Yeah.
Wait, this is the same Brad Stevens that I think Chris Mannix once put out there. If you had your choice, would you take Brad Stevens or able to draft the best? I think he said something like, "You can either have Brad Stevens or have your pick of NBA players to start your franchise. Which one would you choose?" You mean I could either have LeBron, Giannis, Steph, or I get to take Brad Stevens as my first choice? That's how much hype Brad Stevens had at one point. And now he won't even be the head coach of the team?
Well, now he's going to move up to the... Because he's so smart, he moves up to the front office.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, why are you hating on Brad Stevens?
Frankly,
there's too many white people in Boston.
You two like to pat yourselves on the back. I got into this argument with someone about Brad Stevens would never win anything. And they go, okay, we'll see, we'll see. I'm feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good about that, and I
keep
made
on
that.
Waiting,
you,
keep on
I
waiting.
Made that 4 years ago. I said Brad Stevens will never win.
It still counts if he wins. It still counts if he wins.
No, not
as a front office guy.
He's not going to win as a front office guy.
Yeah, it does count if he wins as a front office guy.
Congratulations to the Celtics. We remember when the Celtics had accumulated all those picks, and oh my God, look what the Celtics, all that draft capital. What has it left you with? A first round exit, your GM gone, and Brad Stevens no longer coaching. Congratulations, Boston! Couldn't happen to a better town.
Well, now they're going to get better players.
You're just stomping
there.
On the leprechaun. Yeah. Right now is what you're doing.
Lucky.
Okay,
you're just stomping on a leprechaun.
Better watch what Kevin Garnett says about you now.
Whatever.
And Big Baby.
Let's
point out the only reason the Celtics were relevant at any point is because Kevin McHale was like, "Here, take Kevin Garnett. I don't want him here anymore because he gave him away." Stupid ass town.
Wow. Like that dirty ass trash ass city.
That's for Boston. Philadelphia.
Not in this case. It's for Boston.
That's Philadelphia.
Your one path of relevance is when your former player gave you a guy. Congratulations. That's Danny Ainge's best move. He called his former teammate, and can you give him to me, please? And Kevin McHale's like, sure, take him.
That's it?
Trash-ass city and trash-ass team.
It wasn't a smart move.
For Kevin McHale to trade Kevin Garnett?
Nah, it wasn't a smart move. Well, it certainly helped one team.
Well,
it helped his former team.
Sometimes, you know,
collusion.
Sometimes you give. But Kevin Garnett, remember, he got his contract pre-salary cap, you know, CBA. So he had a Jordan deal, like $33 million a year, that was really debilitating for his team in Minnesota. And Garnett started making some noise like he wanted out, if I remember correctly. So at some point, you can get so expensive that you no longer are valuable to your team. In fact, you're a deterrent to what your team can do. I think that's what happened with Garnett at one point. But, yeah, it didn't really work out. It did single-handedly give the Celtics – it helped to give the Celtics a championship. That's true. It was one of the moves.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Brad Stevens, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Stevens has been described as worn down with coaching since the bubble and welcomed the chance to make the transition to the front office, sources tell ESPN. Stevens will help lead the search for a successor head coach. He's like, I don't want to deal with these players anymore. This is tiring. I should have took that Indiana job.
I'll just move upstairs, let somebody else deal with him every day.
Marcus Smart.
All this drama.
I don't want to talk. I had Kyrie. I had to talk to Marcus Smart and calm him down. Oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
All this drama. Man, why do I have to deal with this?
This man was like,
I'm out.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Beat it. No, I can't blame him. Going upstairs. I don't have to. You know what? You deal with this. I'll get the player. deal with the drama.
He's going to apparently be highly involved in hiring the next head coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going
to
hire him.
Well, to be fair, won't it really be about what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum want?
Oh, Are they going to hire him?
Are you going to
Kyrie say we really don't have a head coach?
Are you going to
He's just going to be like one of us?
Are you going to hire a coach your two max guys don't like?
No. Nope. Can't. Not nowadays.
Yeah, they will probably be consulting pretty heavily with the two Jays.
Better call Deshaun, see what he thinks. Otherwise,
I don't think Deshaun
has he'll be pissed.
I don't think Deshaun can inform any decisions anymore.
You better call Deshaun.
You think
before
he can
picks that coach?
Well,
Deshaun ain't having none of it.
No, you have to ask Deshaun.
Brad Stevens is not looking for a massage therapist. He's not calling Deshaun.
Listen, you have to
You
ask
don't know
Deshaun.
What Brad Stevens is looking for.
You can't just do
not
stuff
the coach's team. Deshaun. He's not
don't
looking
talk
for a massage
that man's
therapist.
Mind. He might be looking for a great massage therapist.
Not have the coach's team. Aaron Rodgers what his thoughts are on this matter yet? About the Celtics, Sean?
I don't think... No, he's too busy Hawaii hanging with Shailene.
You need to give him his... Like, Aaron, what's your thoughts on what we should do with the Celtics? Finally, an organization that
cares about
actually
me.
Cares about what I think.
I'm going to the Celtics.
You know what? I'm going to the Patriots.
He fits.
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh. How?
Why are you rubbing your skin, though?
I mean, he fit. I mean
we there's too many white
Gordon
people.
You mean quarterbacks like Cam Newton? Oh, he fits like that?
Just
oh,
wait.
Really?
Oh,
is there a whiter guy than Mac Jones?
Yeah, just wait
but
on
what
it.
What about Cam Newton?
Just wait on that, by the way. Let Mac Jones complete a couple deep ends in preseason.
I told,
just wait.
Oh, my gosh.
I told
just
you
wait.
Cam would clean up his act as far as his dress goes once he goes to New England.
What?
Yep.
I know you said it. What's
I
the proof?
It.
Clean it up.
I told
clean
you to clean it up.
What's the proof
your
that
clothes.
That happened? He's still wearing babushkas.
He's still wearing.
I need clothing that is. I need to have Oak
and
say over your clothing.
Yeah. Cleaned it up.
High heels, culottes, and a babushka.
He doesn't have
Wait
high
a minute.
Heels. What are you talking about?
You don't know that.
Well, I've never seen
that
him
he's
in
never
high
worn
heels.
High heels. Okay, odds that he's worn high heels.
Why do you think he's worn high heels?
Because
what?
I seen him in a babushka.
They don't wear
I
high heels.
I seen him in culottes.
They don't wear high heels and babushkas. They don't go
it's
together.
It's not called culottes.
Whatever.
He's worn high capris is what I call him.
Capris.
High
okay.
capris.
I got to talk right
high
now.
High capris is what they're
called? That's what I'm calling them.
We've been talking about hoops, so I want to talk about Keith Tate. He doesn't wear a babushka. I'll tell you that right now.
What can your kids do?
Keith, they can dunk.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Can your
Which
kids?
Which kids?
The slow, small white kids that can't jump.
When he said slow, I was like, what is he saying? Oh, slow, like they can't run fast.
They can't run fast.
Yeah.
No.
Give
them
time.
No. The young white kids that can't jump, they can still dunk. How? Because you lower the goal. Now, listen, if you're looking for the best way to get a goal that is the best in the market, that the kids will have the most fun on, that you will love, your wife will love because of the curb appeal, that you are going to have forever, that is unrustable, that the backboard is tempered glass, that the rim is unbreakable, that the kids will actually use. Okay, young kids. And the old kids, too. I mean, it's the best. It's not even arguable. The best goal in the history of goals is at ProDunkHoops.com. It's easy. It's simple. Keith Tate loves you. Keith Tate loves our listener. Keith Tate will deliver the goods, the best goal that you've ever seen at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Let me ask you guys a question. When you're really hungry, mm-hmm. and you get that sandwich, or let's say you've been playing, let's say you're playing all day in basketball or football
poker,
or soccer
or golf.
Also, not poker so much as golf.
Well, you're still hungry after poker.
No. Yeah, but you're sitting down. You're not really active.
You're still hungry.
You're hungry, but I want to specifically point out something where you're
mental
where you're,
strain. Okay, so mental health's not important.
Let's just say your
you.
Heart rate gets over 80. Okay, I'll make it very specific.
Well,
your heart rate has to go over 80 and sustained for a minimum of 5 minutes. Okay,
that's
so poker's
not really
out
baseball,
now.
But okay.
So poker's out. Well, yeah, but it could
I mean,
be.
You have to run for like a, to first base. That's
okay,
it.
Whatever your athletic okay. endeavor may be. So you're hungry and anything tastes good. When you're really hungry, like, oh man, this is the best turkey sandwich. Like in golf, you're right. When you get your, when you're starving and you get, and sometimes we're starved, we haven't had anything to eat or whatever. You get on that golf cart, they got that turkey sandwich. It's sitting on your golf cart for your round, and you just, you get your packet of mustard, you put it on there, and you chomp that up. You get something after you're done playing a game of basketball, you're starving. I'll get anything. Here's a sandwich. This is the best sandwich I've ever had. The A's minor league team, their double A team, recently posted two different pictures about what their food was. Their food? Ugh. And this was posted by advocates. This was posted by advocates for minor leaguers. Now, I'm not sure that anyone is treated worse than minor league baseball players. They make unbelievably low amounts of money.
You mean in sports or overall?
Overall.
In sport, no.
In sports.
No, I mean.
Well, what about Nike workers?
No, but I'm just telling you, people who are employed, there are people right now who are not, who refuse to go back to work because they're only going to get $12 an hour or 14 or 15 or whatever. Minor league baseball players make substantially less than that.
Yeah.
And that's over the course of a whole like year. The least you could do is give them a sandwich. They took pictures on recent road trips. And here's what the article says. A photo depicting food provided to some Oakland A's minor leaguers went viral on Tuesday, sparking references to the infamous Fire Festival. Pictures of the food were shared through a Twitter account run by Advocates for Minor Leaguers, an organization fighting on behalf of minor league players for fair pay and better working conditions, neither of which they have. In a reply to the tweet, I watched something on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, and when you see an entire story about minor league baseball, you literally can't believe the guys can live like this. In a reply to the tweet, Athletics President Dave Cavall called the food totally unacceptable and said the team terminated the agreement with a third-party vendor. These pictures, one of them show what has to be called. John, would you just call this just a cheese sandwich?
Well, I wouldn't it's even bread. Call it really a cheese sandwich.
Explain to people what's
there's
in this box.
One piece of... It's not cheese, though. What is it?
It's a Kraft single. They don't even call it cheese.
They don't even call it cheese because it's not cheese. There is an old tomato and a one piece of lettuce on one slice of Kraft cheese and then two pieces of white bread. It
now,
is,
but don't
and then
skip.
Coleslaw.
Okay, yeah, at least mention the coleslaws up there. That's the banger.
No one even knows
but
how
that's
that
the
looks
banger.
Like crap
that's
coleslaw,
the banger,
too, by
the
way.
Coleslaw. Here's, that's in one game. Oh. Here's the other game, what you got. Can you explain?
I don't even know what that is. I think it's two pieces of crappy chicken and then...
It's a tortilla. I know that for a fact. And I think it's got tiny pieces of...
There's pepper.
Two tiny pieces of chicken. That's a red pepper, right?
Red pepper.
And I think that's an onion.
Like a... It looks like it's a fajita, only it's really, really lonely.
Only imagine that
only it's
it
really
could
lonely.
Fit in a baby's hand.
Yeah.
And I mean a newborn's hand.
Right.
Like that's how much food... If a newborn were holding his hand
and
out...
And it's greasy and there's... Ugh.
And this is what they were being fed.
Honestly, it's making me
like,
sick.
Like, there's nothing.
It is vile.
One of them is a cheese sandwich. And they ended up firing that group.
Immediately after they found
getting
out.
Getting rid of it, yeah. The first photo dates back to May 18th. The next one was a recent road game when they were playing Amarillo. And unfortunately, this is far from an isolated incident in minor league baseball. Each and every day I hear directly from players about the myriad ways in which they are being mistreated. While players are too scared to speak publicly for fear of retaliation, their stories need to be heard. I would welcome the opportunity to work collaboratively with Mr. Cavall and other MLB representatives. Advocates for Minor Leaguers executive Harry Marino said in a statement to ESPN. I did wonder, though, if at any time the food service organization, like, you clearly feel like you don't have the money necessary to buy, I don't know, lunch meat to put in a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
At any point, do you think this is them making a statement like, if they're not going to give us money to feed their players, then their players are getting cheese sandwiches. And that's it. No, we can't give them cheese sandwiches. Give the cheese sandwich and throw some extra slaw in there. So, they're not paying us enough to even put ham in here.
I'm trying to figure out. Did the A's approve of cheese sandwiches and they were just subpar cheese sandwiches? Like, what did they approve of, and that, and then the company fell far below?
Well, here's your budget to eat, and for the season. So now, if you break it down, what can we get these players? A cheese sandwich with one slice of cheese.
That's how much money you gave us.
That's how much money you gave us to eat.
This is
either that
Playboy.
Or somebody's pocketing some.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that would be the other approach.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, we gave him more. This dude. Now we find out this dude is really making a ton of money on the side, with the food allotment.
What do you think that sandwich cost?
That sandwich is literally two slices of bread, one piece of lettuce, one slice of not even an ugly slice of tomato, and one piece of cheese. It's
in mass. If you're buying in mass, that sandwich at most.
No, even
cost
if you're
you-
not, it's still.
35 cents?
Maybe. Maybe. I was going to say less than that.
It might be less than that. But if you're not buying in mass, when I say the most expensive thing on there is a tomato. Two slices of white bread? Bread is like $2.
But that one piece of cheese is. And it's the one that's in the package.
Yeah, it's a Kraft American whatever, but you can buy giant packages of that. The most expensive thing on there is a slice of tomato. And they're not getting organic tomatoes, trust me on that one. But that goes okay. So, what's the cheapest thing you've ever made that you've intentionally made to subsist on?
He's brought it here.
It's my that's salami.
You didn't eat a salami cheese sandwich.
No, I had a sub.
I've had
that's five pieces of salami on there, brother. Okay,
brother.
What's the cheapest thing? The cheapest thing I've had is we took ramen noodles. And then we would cook them and then drain them and then put spaghetti sauce on them.
To subsist.
Yeah.
I've had like...
A 29-cent package of ramen with basically the cheapest spaghetti sauce we could find.
Is that cheaper than if you don't have milk at home and you put water in your cereal?
I've put orange juice in cereal before. I may have put water in cereal as a kid.
I've
done orange juice.
When we just didn't have milk.
Yeah.
At the time.
But you want
my
cereal.
My cheapest was...
You can eat dry cereal. It's better than water cereal.
I do that now. I'm talking about as a kid when it didn't even cross my mind to eat dry cereal.
You had to do something in college, I would imagine.
Oh, no. When I first got to Arizona, I lived in a place...
Yeah, you were poor.
And I was poor. Was and my roommate, I didn't even know if it was my roommate's. He wasn't there. He had an old piece of fish in the freezer that I made and I cooked it and got deathly ill.
You did?
Yes.
It's frozen?
It was frozen.
Dude, this guy, I'll tell it real quick because it's the end of the show. When I was in Austin living with Chris, Solis, and Michael Bennis, Will Colgan. I moved there from Tulane and I was living there and there was this piece of sausage that had been in the freezer forever. It had been in there forever. And finally, we were going to take it out. It's like we kept waiting for that big moment to thaw it out where we could finally, because we would get excited about, you know, it was grilled cheese. We were super excited about grilled cheese every time we had it. Cinnamon toast for a dessert. Oh, amazing. Yeah. We had no money. You had this cheapest spaghetti sauce you could find, and you did it with 25-cent packet of ramen noodles or whatever cheap spaghetti you could find. So anyway, we brought the sausage out, and this one guy named Brian King was staying at our place. Like, we had interlopers come, they would come party or whatever. So we had the sausage, and we put it in boiling water, and we're waiting for the sausage to get done. We're super excited, and we just got to wait and wait and wait. We're like, man, we're going to finally have sausage. This is unbelievable. This is a fit for a king. This dude, Brian King, goes in. When the sausage is done, they take it out, put it on a counter on a cutting, probably just on a plate, basically, just waiting for it to cool down. They're going to cut it. Brian King goes in there. Cuts half the link off. This is a guy who didn't even live with us. Didn't put any money in towards anything. Took that half a link and just ate the whole half a link before we could even do anything. Mm. That was like, bro, we've been saving that sausage for like a special occasion. And you came in and ate the sausage that we had been, and we were left with. It was the saddest day
ever
of our lives. And he got the nickname Sausage Hawk, which has never gone away. He's just known as the Sausage Hawk now. His name is not even, you don't even say his name. You just say, I wonder what the Sausage Hawk is doing now.
Yeah.
Because he came and hawked the whole sausage. When you're that poor and you have no meat and you finally have some 7-month-old frozen freezer burned sausage.
Right. No, he hawked your sausage. I don't think there's any question. And so he's the sausage hawk now.
He's a crap.
Yeah. So we're done here with this segment, though.
We are.
No. So
does that mean something?
So it's you and I.
That's a wish sandwich. You wish you had some meat on that sandwich.
You wish you had this.
Well, right. Well, we've heard him talk about what he, some bitches wishes.
Your bitches wishes you had this.
Bye, bitch.
A lot of B words.
That's ugly. Are the kids in school yet?
If they're not.
What about the homeschoolers?
What about them? They should be learning
something.
What
about little Maddie? She's home.
She's not listening at 10 o'clock.
Oh. All right. When we come back, back to this, for those of you that weren't with us, but a turn of events in the Naomi Osaka drama. So we'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.